Responded by seizing the slaves. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. A second time he dispatched even more slaves than before, but they treated them the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, thinking, they will respect my son. When they saw the son, the tenants said to one another, here is the one who will inherit everything. Let us kill him, and then we shall have his inheritance. With that they seized him, dragged him outside the vineyard, and killed him. What do you suppose the owner of the vineyard will do to those tenants when he comes? They replied, he will bring that wicked crowd to a bad end, and lease his vineyard out to others who will see to it that he has grapes at vintage time. Jesus said to them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the keystone of the structure. It was the Lord who did this, and we find it marvelous to behold.
Glory to you.
Judgment Day parables always fill me with fear of sorts. How is it going to be at the end? Let me start with a story. I heard this tale years ago. I heard this tale years ago, and I came upon it a few weeks ago again. It's a nice tale about this rich man who liked to collect things, all kinds of art. And the tale goes, the rich man had this passion from his youth, so he accumulated a lot of very precious artwork. And he had one son. And the son went to the war, and he was killed in battle. And the son was beloved by his comrades, so after his funeral, one of the fellow soldiers painted a picture, a portrait of the son, and sent it to the father, you know. And father displayed it in his house as a memory of his son, his death, and the friendships that he acquired while he was still alive. And then the rich man died, and because he had no heir, they decided to auction off all his property. So many people who collect things and who have money heard of the man and his collection, and they were getting ready to come to this auction, and they all show up. And I don't know what the guy is called that leads the auction, but he says, are you all here? Let us begin. And he says, I have the exact directions how to lead today's auction, so we will auction off the artwork in a particular order. And he looks in his paper and he says, the first image to be auctioned off will be the portrait of a son. It's called the portrait of the son, or of the son, I guess that's English. And they show this not famous artwork of a fellow soldier, portrait of the father's son. And you hear kind of unrest in the audience. Some people even scoff. They say, why don't we start with the most valuable work, you know, and work our way down. But the auctioneer insists, we have to start with this portrait, so please, what are your bids? There's no initial bid. And the place goes silent. No one wants to bid on this portrait. And finally, there's this quiet voice from the back. It says, I have $27. And he was the gardener of the property. And he says, that's all I have. I'll buy the portrait. The gardener knew the son who grew up on the property, right? Like the boy. Probably missed him. So as a memory of his lifelong service to the master, he wanted to buy this image of the son. So the auction goes, okay, $27, anyone give more? No one offered more, so he goes, going once, going twice, going three times, sold to the gardener. And as they take the portrait down, he announces, and this concludes our auction today, because my next direction is whoever buys the sun gets everything else. Reminds me of our gospel today. Tenant farmers, what did they do to deserve the vineyard, the hedge around it, and the tower, and the grapes? What did they do? Nothing yet, right? Or nothing at all. They don't even have a chance to do much. And the master is asking for a portion of what belongs to him. So they came to this wealth, to work, to livelihood. Kind of very cheap, no? For $27. But this was the will of the master, to give them the vineyard. And what he asked for is a portion of the harvest. And that's when trouble starts, right? Because they want to be independent. They want it all, and they don't want it to belong to the master anymore. So he sends servants, and they beat them, they kill them, they do all kinds of things to them. But the master seems to be so trusting, giving them one chance after another. Finally, he says, I'm going to send my son. They will respect him. And what do these fools do? They say, oh, here's the son, let's kill him. And it will finally be ours. We've been trying for, it will finally be ours. So they take him, drag him out, and they kill the son. And then the judgment comes. Jesus is asking, and Matthew's version is asking the Pharisees and the scribes, the elders of Israel, for the sentence. He says, what do you think he will do when he comes? And they give a sentence. He will bring them to a miserable end. Give the vineyard to others. Why are they so furious? Why do they pronounce this sentence? It's probably very touching. Son is the one that continues the promise given by God to Abraham and to all his descendants. The son is, or his children perhaps, if he doesn't live long enough, is to see this promised Messiah. So you killed the son? My goodness. It's not just a family member. It's the heir to the promise to salvation. Much more than just a human religious significance of this murder of the son. So the Pharisees say, just get rid of them. When I came upon this story I started with a few weeks ago, it had this little comment by person who offered the reflection. And it said, you were each given the image of the Son. It was placed in your soul at baptism. Are you going to welcome him? Are you going to keep him alive, or are you going to kill him? And then the author goes on, talking about anti-Semitism, speaking how this passage for centuries was, for many, a reason to be mad at the Jews and to do all kinds of things to them because they killed the son. But he concludes with something that we all know, right? That it is not the Jews. It is us, sinners, who killed the son. And we continue killing him every time we choose to enjoy this vineyard on our own. Every time we decide to rob the master who is sending his son of what is truly his, what we have gotten for such a small price, for nothing. So it is really us sinners who are mocking that image when we decide to disrespect him who was imprinted on our souls. It is really us sinners who want to enjoy this vineyard, this life of ours, without any responsibility to the master. So, whether you are Jewish or Greek or born American, you are guilty. You are guilty. And the scariest part is that sentence. I remember when I was in seminary, our teacher in ethics class, we had to study ethics for people who don't go to church to be able to teach them. He gave us a seminar and he said, you make it a mix. And the book I got had this little passage he wanted me to comment on. And I'll never forget this quote by St. Thomas Aquinas that was in that book. In that quote he describes the judgment that we will all go through. And in that judgment, it is not the judge who is pronouncing the sentence over us guilty ones. By St. Thomas, God is asking the soul, how do you see yourself? How do you judge yourself to be before my face? That's when we ourselves will pronounce sentence over our own lives. What are we going to say? What are we going to cry out? Do we have enough courtesy to cry, Lord, have mercy? Or will we not be able to stand in this light of goodness, beauty, and truth? What are we going to prefer? It's scary, this judgment day, isn't it? This week I had a very strange encounter. I'm trying to fix the wall. So I'm calling for bids, right? And I'm getting bids. And this man, I didn't know him. I just talked to him on the phone once, exchanged emails with him once or twice. He calls me on the phone and he says, "You won't believe what happened to me in the past 7 days. And yesterday, and I don't know why, don't ask me why, God told me to call you and to tell you." And I thought, okay, so we can meet if you want. So we met. And he told me how in the past 7 days, this young man, younger than I, was inspired to start a company, to work with his hands, to put money aside, and to do good. He has already planned his first trip because, and this is based on, he says he has visions. I asked him, "Can you describe the vision to me?" And he says, "It's not like an image or like a movie that I see you. It's like a very strong thought that just comes to my mind and won't leave me until I do what it's asking for." And I thought, this is unusual. I said, "Are you Christian?" He goes, "Well, I believe in God. I believe it is God who is talking to me. But I gave up on organized religion." To speed up the story, a guy from far away grew up in Mexico, went to Catholic school, eventually became very discouraged, scandalized by the church, and left. He says, "Yesterday, for the first time in 10 years, I picked up the Bible. And I started reading." And he says, "I started praying, talking to this vision," he calls it. "And I have been shown that the end is coming. And I have been shown that the end does not have, the end is not written word by word, that we each hold the final result, so to say, in our own hands. Because I've been shown what it can be, and that I have a power to change this. That's why I want to do good." And he says, "I started yesterday because I am realizing that every day that passes, I am missing on this mission, and I am, and the good ending is running away from me." And I was sitting there thinking, the man speaks very Catholic for being, you know, just spiritual. And for a moment I thought, I envy that resolve the man has not to waste one more minute of his life. To call a stranger that he talked on the phone with once and to tell him about this and ask him for direction. But most of all, I remembered what he told me about this end. That we are all writing the final sentence of our lives. We are all those those scribes, those the ones that were given the kingdom. And God is asking us, what are you going to do? You have imprinted my son on your soul. What are you going to do with him? I sent him to you. And now it's your decision. What are you going to do? What are you going to write as the end of your story? And in light of that conversation with the stranger, are you going to start writing already, or are you going to waste more time? Let us pray about our own end today. Let us ask our Lord to help us write a good ending. Let us ask for this grace of responsibility towards our Master who imprinted his Son on our souls. So that the ending who is coming, whether you believe this visionary or not, your end and my end is coming. So that the end that is coming is a happy one. It's a happy one. Let us pray for the good outcome of our judgment day. Glory to Jesus Christ.